morning. This is the KBOO Morning News for Thursday, April 27th, 2006. I'm Chris Andre.
And I'm Brian Smith.
Lawmakers adopted a non-binding amendment that allows the government to punish employees who leak classified materials. Congress has passed their notorious network neutrality bill, which would create a two-tiered net framework made up of fast and slow lanes for the rich and poor, respectively. And in Iraq, the sister of the Sunni vice president was killed today in a drive-by shooting. Portland area weather today, mostly cloudy to the north this morning, sunny later in the day with areas of drizzle in between. Tonight, partly cloudy, temperatures in the 40s.
The U.S. Forest Service says that parts of the national forest that the Bush administration wants to sell are isolated, expensive to manage, and no longer needed. But an Oregon environmental group found the Forest Service has no documents to support its position. The Bush administration wants to sell more than 300,000 acres of national forest across the country to help pay for some of the nation's rural schools during the next 5 years. A bill is pending in Congress, but lawmakers from both parties argue the loss of public lands is not worth the short-term gain for schools. An Oregon environmental group filed a Freedom of Information request to find any supporting documents, but the Forest Service said it does not have any cost analysis of the land.
Timber companies in coastal counties are facing a logging shortfall from a harvest strategy adopted in 2001 for the Tillamook and Clatsop State Forests. The strategy was sold to the public 5 years ago. This is a balanced approach that would provide for wildlife while also turning out plenty of logs. But early projections turned out to be inflated. A review completed by the Oregon Department of Forestry confirmed the shortfall. That will mean cuts in revenue for coastal counties, meaning a loss of millions of dollars from logging. Now the counties are pushing for more intensive logging on state forests. But such an increase would eat away habitat for wildlife that use the bigger, older trees. The Oregon Board of Forestry now faces a tough choice. Stick with the 2001 strategy or promote more logging by relaxing or ending wildlife measures.
Portland Public Schools' fast-paced school closure and reconfiguration plans could doom a November tax measure designed to give the district 5 years of financial stability, this according to the Oregonian. Pollster Lisa Groves' conclusion contradicts the recommendations of the district's Citizen Budget Committee. That group, including several parent activists, reiterated Monday night that the district needs to move forward with the closure plan to sway skeptical voters. Groves Insight conducted the February poll for the Portland Schools Foundation that showed unexpectedly high voter opposition to new taxes and slammed the door on Mayor Tom Potter's proposed school income tax. Grove has not polled specifically on school closures, but in her March memo to the foundation, Grove said her previous polls and her work in Seattle indicate that voters want to see cost saving outside the classroom before closures and other long-term changes. Grove suggested that Portland follow Seattle Public Schools, which proposed a closure plan, then backed off after protests in favor of a longer public process. Grove confirmed that she wrote the memo but declined to comment on details. A closure opponent leaked the memo to the paper, not Grove, and another closure foe forwarded it to at least one internet discussion group.
3 years ago, a group of ardent and politically aware skateboarders approached the Portland Parks and Recreation Bureau with what seemed like a win-win proposition. They would raise the money to remake the skating facility at North Portland's Pier Park. All city officials had to do was ease the permitting process and cut the ribbon. As they sit down to approve the skate park today, however, city council members face the same kind of quandary as the budget-bursting aerial tram, albeit on a smaller scale. The total cost has gone up more than 100%. The city's share jumped from zero to $279,000. Experienced skateboarders described the original Pier Park skate park as a noble failure. Built in 2001 by the Oregon National Guard, it lacks the natural flow from obstacle to obstacle. The 2002 parks operating levy included $500,000 for two parks rather than immediately start building, though. The Parks Bureau launched a long sighting study. Skaters for Portland Skate Parks, then a three-person operation that had helped campaign for the levy, wanted a new park right away, so they decided to use private money. and that was the beginning of their financial woes.
Beaverton City planners say that a controversial plan for Walmart in the Cedar Mills area should be rejected, according to the Oregonian. But the lone technical objection is not expected to block the world's largest retailer from locating in the city. Instead of the hot-button issue of traffic, the problems tripping up Walmart is stormwater runoff. Walmart's representatives have not received permission to pipe the runoff beneath Southwest Barnes Road and into a creek. At present, the stormwater issue is only one blocking a recommendation in support of what could be Walmart's first store in Washington County. Both supporters and opponents of the store found reasons to be optimistic about the report from the Beaverton Community Development Department. The Portland lawyer representing Walmart in Beaverton said the staff report was good news and a treatment to the company's diligence in addressing its impact. Steve Kaufman, leader of the opposition group Save Cedar Mill, said city staff was narrowly focused on the technical issues. However, when the city's Board of Design Review judges a new Walmart, he said, its members will see the bigger picture and reject the proposal.
Two Seawolf-class attack submarines that are being transferred from the East Coast will be based in Bremerton, Washington, according to the Seattle Post-Intelligencer. As part of a military realignment, the USS Seawolf and USS Connecticut will move Kitsap, which includes Bangor and Bremerton. This from the Seattle Post-Intelligencer.
A robotic airplane, the Scan Eagle, used for military intelligence and reconnaissance work in Iraq, might undergo test flights over the Clovis, Washington area. Boeing's St. Louis-based defense unit and the Bingen, Washington-based In-Situ group developed a Scan Eagle, a 4-foot-long aircraft with a 10-foot wingspan. Boeing has contracts with the Navy and the Army to supply an undisclosed number of Scan Eagles and needs an area to teach military personnel how to use the aircraft, said Chick Ramey. The airplane is being used by the Marines and Navy in Iraq. The aircraft has flown above insurgents' positions and sent detailed real-time video images to troops on the ground. Cannon Air Force Base near Clovis has not received any information about the Boeing being interested in operating there. The base is slated to close in 2010 if a new mission can't be found for it.
Week reported yesterday that environmental activist Trey Arrow is one step closer to returning from Canada to face trial in Portland on a 5-year-old arson charges. A spokesman to the Canadian Justice Department says Justice Minister Vic Toews agreed on April 24th to extradite Arrow. Spokesman Chris Giroud wouldn't give Toews reasons for the decision. Instead, he's saying it may still be subject to judicial review if Arrow requests it. Arrow's lawyers have 30 days to request a review of the British Columbia Court of Appeal. Arrow, who's been in jail in BC for over 2 years, has previously said that he'll use every avenue in his fight to stay in Canada.
The cost of the war in Iraq will reach $320 billion after the expected passage next month of an emergency spending bill currently before the Senate, according to the Washington Post. That total is likely to be more than double before the war ends. The Congressional Research Service analysis provides the most official cost estimate yet of the war, whose price tag will rise by nearly 17% this year. Just last week, independent defense analysis looking at only Defense Department costs put the total at least $7 billion below the CRS figure. Once the war spending bill is passed, military and diplomatic costs will have reached $102 billion this fiscal year. Even if a gradual troop withdrawal begins this year, war costs in Iraq and Afghanistan are likely to rise by an additional $371 billion during the phase-out, the report said, citing a Congressional Budget Office study.
Under a bill approved by a House committee yesterday, Internet carriers would have a free hand to charge the likes of Google, Yahoo, and eBay extra for faster delivery of services to consumers. The vote, 42 to 12, brings a two-tiered internet one step closer to reality, despite the wishes of a broad coalition of website operators and public interest groups that insist the fees will crush innovation. The web companies had hoped to amend yesterday's legislation, thereby protecting network neutrality. But the effort failed when an amendment introduced by Representative of Massachusetts Ed Markey was defeated in largely a party-line vote. Internet carriers have been strident supporters of upending the Internet's tradition of network neutrality and have lobbied Congress to make it happen. They argue that websites should be able to pay extra so that users don't have to wait as long for downloads. Internet carriers say they'd use the money they earn to expand the Internet's capacity. The possibility of separate slow and fast lanes on the Internet has galvanized many activists, just not enough to stop the legislation.
America may still think of itself as a land of opportunity, but the chances of living a rags-to-riches life are a lot lower than elsewhere in the world, according to Reuters. The likelihood that a child born into a poor family will make it into the top 5% is just 1%, according to Understanding Mobility in America. By contrast, a child born rich had a 22% chance of being rich as an adult. The study also found the United States had one of the lowest levels of intergenerality mobility in the wealthy world, on a par with Britain, but way behind most of Europe. The research is based on a panel of over 4,000 children whose parents' income were observed in 1968 and whose incomes as adults were reviewed again up until 1999.
Prosecutors launched a blistering attack against Ken Lay yesterday. They're accusing the former Enron chief executive and chairman of trying to influence potential witnesses at his criminal trial. Lay finished nearly 3 days of questioning by his own lawyer late in the day, and prosecutors immediately began an aggressive cross-examination of the man who headed the energy company for 15 years. Prosecutor John Houston said Lay phoned a Goldman Sachs banker earlier this month and recited his memory of a meeting the two attended in the weeks before Enron's collapse. Lay did not dispute that he had also called former Goldman Sachs vice chairman Robert Hurst twice and another Goldman banker. Those calls prompted a Goldman Sachs lawyer to warn Lay's legal team that Lay should not call those banks' employees.
A Senate committee yesterday announced an investigation into taxes paid by major oil companies and asked the Internal Revenue Service for the company's tax returns. The Senate Finance Committee promised a comprehensive review of the federal taxes paid by the 15 largest oil and gas companies. The committee said it wanted to inspect their tax returns for the last 5 years. Senator Charles Grassley, the committee's chairman, said the panel was concerned about the high profits and executive compensation at oil companies. It's highly unusual for the Senate committee to seek corporate tax records. Last time it was done is when the panel asked the IRS for the tax records of Enron. The committee announcement came as Congress showed increasing concern amid political fallout over high gasoline prices and oil industry profits. Lawmakers began moving on various fronts to eliminate loopholes and some tax provisions that save oil companies billions of dollars.
ExxonMobil, the world's largest oil company, today said higher oil prices drove first quarter profits up 7% from the previous year. Net income rose to $8.4 billion. That's a 7% rise from last year's earnings. The report comes amid consumer outcry in the U.S. about soaring gasoline prices. The average retail price of gasoline is 68 cents higher now than it was a year ago. In January, ExxonMobil posted the highest quarterly and annual profits of any company anywhere in history.
A Senate inquiry has concluded that FEMA should be abolished and rebuilt from scratch to avoid a repeat of multiple government failures exposed by Hurricane Katrina. Crippled by recent years of poor leadership and inadequate funding, the Federal Emergency Management Agency cannot be fixed. Taken together, the 86 proposed reforms suggest that the United States is still woefully unprepared for a disaster such as Katrina, with the start of the hurricane season a little more than a month away. The inquiry urges yet another overhaul of the embattled Homeland Security Department, FEMA's parent agency, which was created 3 years ago and has already undergone major reconstruction of duties and responsibilities. It proposes creating a new agency called the National Preparedness and Response Authority that would plan and carry out relief missions for domestic disasters. Unlike now, the authority would have a direct line of communication with the president during major crises, and any dramatic cuts to its budget or staffing levels would have to be approved by Congress. It would also oversee efforts to protect critical infrastructure such as buildings, roads, and power systems, as well as Homeland Security's medical officer. But the inquiry calls for keeping the agency within Homeland Security.
Prosecutors asked a judge to rethink granting 9/11 families suing airlines access to evidence gathered for the criminal case against Al-Qaeda terrorist Zacharias Moussaoui. This from a report by CNN. U.S. District Court Judge Leonie Brinkema's April 7th order requires prosecutors to provide copies of all unclassified aviation security documents to attorneys representing 9/11 families in a civil lawsuit pending in New York. Prosecutors called the order unprecedented and urged Brinkema to withdraw it. The motion was filed by Chuck Rosenberg, the U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Virginia. Brinkema's order would allow the family's attorneys access to highly sensitive law enforcement documents and could compromise the continuing 9/11 investigations.
A national health and consumer advocacy group yesterday singled out ads by Cepracor and four other drug makers as evidence of overly aggressive direct marketing by pharmaceutical companies to consumers. This according to Reuters. The Prescription Access Litigation Project, or PAL, a coalition of 118 state, local, and national consumer health advocacy groups, gave the five what it calls a bitter pill award. The awards were created in 2005 to highlight the potential problems of excessive marketing, particularly directed to consumers advertising which skirts the inputs of doctors, the group said. The list also includes Pfizer's cholesterol-lowering treatment Lipitor, Sanofi, Aventis sleep drug Ambien, Eli Lilly's Stratera for attention deficit hyperactive disorder, and AstraZeneca's PLC cholesterol drug Crestor. According to the trade publication Medical Marketing and Media, Cepracor spent over $215 million on Lunesta's advertising in 2005, second only to the amount AstraZeneca spent on its purple pill, Nexium. Pfizer's spending on Lipitor, the world's biggest-selling drug, was a mere $93.4 million by comparison.
Supreme Court justices clashed yesterday over how states execute killers, with one court member saying current lethal injection drugs would not be used on cats and dogs, and a second arguing that executions do not have to be pain-free. The court blocked Florida at the last minute from executing Clarence Hill in January, as Hill lay on a gurney with IV lines in his arms. The court's ruling will determine whether inmates can file last-minute civil rights challenges claiming their deaths would be cruel and unusual punishment. Antonin Scalia said the Constitution does not require painless deaths. He told Hill's lawyer, referring to one of the country's oldest execution methods, quote, hanging was not a quick and easy way to go, unquote. Critics of lethal injection have been bolstered by a 2005 study published in the Lancet Medical Journal indicating that a painkiller administered at the start of an execution can wear off before a prisoner dies.
Top White House aide Karl Rove made his fifth grand jury appearance in the Valerie Plame affair yesterday. Rove underwent several hours of questioning about a new issue that has come to light since the last time he testified. Special Counsel Patrick Fitzgerald declined to comment at the conclusion of the grand jury session. Rove appeared to ease as he left the U.S. courthouse, joking to journalists to move to the back as a White House aide, his lawyer, and several reporters entered an elevator to leave the building. Yesterday's session is believed to be only the second time Fitzgerald has met with the new grand jury, examining questions left unanswered in the leaking of Plame's CIA identity. The only issue in the CIA leak probe known to involve Rove is a contact his lawyer, Robert Luskin, had with the Time magazine reporter Vivek Novak. The contact is important because during it, the Time reporter told Luskin that Rove might have disclosed Plame's CIA status in 2003 to another Time reporter, Matt Cooper.
According to current and former intelligence officials, Valerie Plame Wilson was part of an operation tracking distribution and acquisition of weapons of mass destruction technology to and from Iran. This from Raw Story. Intelligence officials revealed heretofore unreported elements of Plame's work. Their accounts suggest that Plame's outing was more serious than has been previously reported and carries grave implications for U.S. national security and its ability to monitor Iran's burgeoning nuclear program. While many have speculated that Plame was involved in monitoring the nuclear proliferation black market, specifically the proliferation activities of Pakistan's nuclear father, AQ Khan, intelligent sources say that her team provided only minimal support in that area, focusing almost entirely on Iran. Plame declined to comment, though through her husband Joseph Wilson. Intelligent sources would not identify the specifics of Plame's work. They did, however, tell Raw Story that her outing resulted in severe damage to her team and significantly hampered the CIA's ability to monitor nuclear proliferation.
Congressional investigators are raising questions about the United States' commitment to UN reform. A report from the Government Accountability Office says the State Department didn't fill a senior-level job connected to the reform issues more than a year. The post was empty during a September 2005 summit in which world leaders agreed to a number of reforms. The report says a key vacancy represents a missed opportunity for the U.S. in influencing change. The position was filled in March. Contributors have warned of a looming budget crisis if they don't get the reforms they seek. Poorer nations, however, accuse the UN of trying to ram through changes that would put more power in the hands of wealthy governments.
An al-Qaeda suspect who earned top privileges for good behavior at Guantanamo Bay has asked a military judge to overturn a camp rule that detainees who face trial be held in maximum security. Sufyan Bahouman has been granted communal living up to 14 hours a day outside his cell and family-style meals in an area reserved for detainees considered highly compliant. But weeks before his pre-trial, military tribunal hearing Bahouman was suddenly transferred without explanation to a maximum security facility where prisoners spend 22 hours a day locked inside cement cells and have little contact with fellow detainees. Court documents say he now seldom sees the sun and is allowed out of his cell only for 2 hours of exercise in a 5x10 yard. Bahumi's military lawyer asked the tribunal's presiding officer to reverse the transfer, saying the treatment threatened to undermine the defense case. A top prison official testified that Bahumi's transfer was under a policy meant to protect detainees and charged with war crimes from threats by other prisoners. The transfer would also reduce chances that Bahumi and other detainees heading for trial would try to escape or commit suicide.
A sister of Iraq's new Sunni Arab vice president was killed today in a drive-by shooting, crushed by force. In southern Iraq, a bomb hit an Italian military convoy, killing 4 soldiers, 3 Italians and a Romanian, and seriously injuring another passenger. The bomb struck the convoy near an Italian military base in Nasiriyah, a heavily Shiite city 200 miles southeast of Baghdad. Elsewhere, a U.S. jet fired 2 missiles at insurgent positions in Ramadi. And fighting also broke out northeast of Baghdad between Iraqi forces and insurgents. The violence came as Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice and Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld were visiting Baghdad to meet with officials in the new Iraqi government. Nouri al-Maliki, a Shiite hardliner recently tapped as Iraqi's prime minister, is trying to form a national unity government aimed at stopping a wave of sectarian violence.
The International Red Cross expressed alarm about the growing civilian toll during recent violence involving Israel and the Palestinians. The ICRC said in a statement, "The International Committee of the Red Cross is alarmed by the numbers of civilians killed or injured during attacks and military operations in Israel and in the occupied and autonomous territories over recent weeks." The statement marked an escalation in the ICRC's more usual language of concern following recent Palestinian suicide attacks in Israel and Israeli military operations against Palestinian targets. The statement followed 2 suicide bombings in the West Bank and Tel Aviv in which 15 people died, as well as Israeli military operations, including the shelling of the Gaza Strip that killed a number of civilians, including 2 children. The ICRC has appealed to all sides to spare and protect civilians. It added, "Civilians must not pay the price of conflict. Any civilian loss of life on either side further fuels the conflict and generates more loss, suffering, and grief."
The Hamas-led Palestinian Authority vowed yesterday not to give in to some Western financial pressure and appealed to banks to take some risks and agree to handle the new government's fund. Palestinian officials and Western aid agencies say the economy could quickly collapse and violence could spread because Israel froze tax receipts and Western nations cut aid to the Palestinian Authority. Aggravating the crisis, local, regional, and international banks have balked at transferring Arab and Islamic donations to the Palestinian Authority, fearing the sanctions by the United States, which regards Hamas as a terrorist organization.
The conservative ruling party candidate in Mexico's presidential election is on a roll after a strong performance in the first televised debate of the campaign and a string of mistakes by his main leftist rival, this according to Reuters. Without delivering any knockout blows, Felipe Calderon won the debate on Tuesday night by laying out his policy proposals and staying calm. He was helped by the refusal of leftist candidate Andres Manuel López Obrador to join the debate. An empty chair was set out on the stage to mark López Obrador's absence, and it was widely seen as another blow to his campaign. Obrador chose not to join the debate so as not to risk his lead, which at one point stood above 10%. His support has slumped in recent weeks, however, and he is now locked in a tight race with Calderon.
And former Soviet President Mikhail Gorbachev urged the world's biggest industrialized nations to set up a $50 billion fund to support solar power, according to Agence France-Presse. Gorbachev warned that oil or nuclear energy were not viable energy sources for the future. Gorbachev, who chairs an environmental think tank, Green Cross International, called on leaders of the group of eight industrialized nations to invest in renewable energy sources in a statement marking the 20th anniversary of the Chernobyl nuclear disaster.